is a currency deal between an independent Scotland and the rest of the UK possible?
Yes, I think it's possible. I mean, the European Union has got a currency deal across 17 of its current countries, and they've agreed to, you know, certain details around how they manage the currency. So it's possible, but it's a bit difficult.
The rest of the UK parties at the moment say that they would block it. They just wouldn't have anything to do with it. Is that possible?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They can stop Scotland joining a monetary union with all the institutions and rules that that implies. What they can't do is stop Scotland using the pound sterling. There's nothing to stop any country using any currency it likes.
So what would be the risks of that strategy then, of effectively what's known as sterlingisation?
Yeah, so the main risk of that is what's called the lack of a lender of last resort. Now that seems very technical, but what it means is that if you've got a bank that's got into trouble, it needs cash. Where does it go to get that cash? Under the present circumstances, it gets cash from the Bank of England. Now, if Scotland just uses sterling, then the banks are more risky and would be more risky in Scotland. That might cause them to contract.
Or might you see the banks re-headquartering in London, for example?
Well, I think that the Bank of England is likely to insist that the Scottish banks that are doing a big chunk of business south of the border re-headquarter in London, because they want to regulate the financial institutions which are doing big business within England.
What about the Bank of England and the pound itself? Would Scotland have any claim to them?
Well, in a sense, it would have a claim to the share of the, for example, foreign currency reserves that the Bank of England might hold. But it doesn't have any claim to, for example, the reputation of the Bank of England. That's indivisible, and it's the reputation of the Bank of England which is very important to allow it to borrow at very good interest rates on the international market. Scotland would be a new creditor country. You can't share out your credit history with another country.
So what would happen then in terms of what Alex Salmond is talking about with the current UK debt, which has been underwritten by the Treasury, by the Bank of England? It would stay with the rest of the UK, but Scotland would be liable for some of that. He says that it would only be liable if it got a share of the assets as well.
Well, so there's an account which is carried out at regular intervals by the Treasury, which kind of adds up all the assets and all the liabilities of all of the UK government activities, and Scotland would get its fair share of those. Unfortunately, the UK as a whole, this account, is very much in deficit at the moment. So there would undoubtedly be, if you, for example, allocated this on a population basis, Scotland would have quite a large chunk of debt. Now, it's not actually Scotland's debt. It's the debt of the UK government. So Scotland doesn't have to take it on. You could say, well, that, you know, that's the option that Scotland should go for. The one difficulty, and it's quite a big difficulty with that, is that Scotland from day one would have to borrow on the international markets. That's because it spends more than it taxes. And say, when asked, you know, what's your credit history? A one large debt, we haven't actually paid any of it back, and we're not going to. And that might make international institutions less willing to lend to Scotland, or to do so at a much higher rate than they're willing to lend to the rest of the UK at the minute.
Now, you've got more experience in this field than most. Mm. Do you think that if Scotland were to vote for independence on the 18th of September, there would be a deal between the two?
Probably not in the short term is the answer. And my main reason for saying that is that we have a UK general election coming up. We have three parties that have said they are not going to have anything to do with a deal which of them is going to go to the electorate in England and Wales and Northern Ireland and say, by the way, we've changed our mind. We've decided that we didn't mean what we said to the Scottish government, that in fact we are going to have a currency deal with Scotland. I don't think there's much electoral benefit to them from doing that. So I think they'll hold out at least for a year or two.
But given that the independence negotiations would take, even in the Scottish government's best estimate, a year and a half, do you think that by the time something was there in terms of Scotland becoming independent, if that was to be the way the vote went, could it be done?
Well, one trouble about all of this is that financial markets bring the future into the present. If they think that some kind of a deal which involves a separate currency might be done, what you'll find is that capital will start moving.
Do you think on that basis then that Alex Salmond and the Yes campaign need a plan B?
I do think they need a plan B, definitely.
What should it be, do you think?
Well, I think the thing to do is to look into what would be the costs and benefits of setting up a separate Scottish currency.
Better than sterlingisation?
I think so, because it allows Scottish competitiveness, if it changes relative to the rest of the UK, or if there's big shifts in the oil price, the Scottish exchange rate would change relative to the pound sterling, and that would keep the Scottish economy more competitive. If you sterlingise, then you've got a fixed exchange rate to sterling. So if there's a sudden oil price shock, or if Scotland becomes much more productive or less productive than the rest of the UK, you're stuck with this fixed exchange rate, and that might have bad consequences for your economy.